chocolate cheese for freedom.
I can't handle this.
When freedom brings,
answer the call.
On your feet,
stand up tall.
Freedom's on our shoulders.
USA!
Enemies of freedom, face the music.
Come on, boys, take them down.
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great.
How are you doing, Craig?
You like, terrible. It was awful.
Here, Scott Santos is in the studio. I'm going to hand him some headphones. Let me make sure we get that cord over there for you. And I'm sure that Senator Katowski is, you know, even if he doesn't have his radio on, his head just exploded just a little bit. He really hates that song. We played that for you on Monday. Have you had the chance to see the video yet?
No, God, no, please.
You don't want to see the video?
No,
it's really quite awful. Do you have the black box right there?
Right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
What, Craig? That's not out of context. That's totally fine.
Yeah, that's completely fine.
Just put it in the box.
Yeah. Just put it right in the box.
Just stick it in the box.
Uh-huh.
neither Will nor I have watched the GOP debate tonight, nor did we see any of the CNN coverage of Donald Trump's, appearance on that network. Did he do something there?
He did a thing for veterans.
Well, we're not sure.
Is that right?
Because the money goes to the Donald Trump Foundation, which is a 501c3. And then he is going to give the money to the veterans, he says.
Sure.
But they raised over $5 million, and he didn't know which veterans organization that was going to receive the money. Not only that, but a lot of veterans organizations said, we don't want his money.
Yeah, you know, the vet thing that does the thing with the vets.
Yeah.
Did the thing. It was the debate tonight was terrific. I mean, honestly,
without him.
It was like everyone said, this is going to be the debate that we should have had all along. And it was substantive. Mm-hmm. It was combative at times. It was terrific. It was like you really recognized how deep this bench was. If you're a Republican. And it was terrific. It was just no one was. I think it was Cruz who started by saying, "Everyone up here is stupid, fat, and
Dr. Carson."
And he goes, "Carson, you're a bad surgeon." Okay, now we've gotten the Trump part of the evening out of the way.
Well, and that's the thing is, then how did they cover the issues? Were they? I mean, I heard there was a little contention over immigration between Rubio and Cruz.
Yes,
and. Now, who else? I don't even know who's in it. Is Christie still on this?
Yeah, he was there. He was actually the bombastic, big old New Jersey
loudmouth
that he is. He was, yeah, but he was good.
Oh, he was, okay.
I thought Jeb did better than he's ever done, but he didn't have the bully in the playground.
It's funny because Jeb shows up at the debate, and you know how they always say, oh, the generals are fighting the previous war. Well, Jeb is debating his father's debate, and he shows up. And Donald Trump is up there, and he's like a Tyrannosaurus, you know, chewing up pieces of meat and spitting them into the audience. And Jeb can barely break the crust of his creme brulee. You know, I mean, he doesn't look like a guy, you know, who was prepared for this event.
No, and he still kind of doesn't. He still has that Bushism where it kind of looks around and doesn't really stay still.
But he didn't stutter tonight the way he normally does next to Trump. Yeah, next to the football player.
And he went after Rubio, which was an interesting on his flip-flopping because Rubio accused him of flip-flopping on immigration. And, of course, Jeb went right back at him. It was interesting. It was a good exchange, though. It was actually about an issue, an important one. And it was fascinating.
So what happens Monday?
Well, ooh, you saw a softer, gentler Ted Cruz. I know that sounds weird, but you did. And
that just sounds icky, by the way. Softer, gentler Ted Cruz.
My line on stage is that Ted Cruz is crazy. I doubt if he could win a majority of the voices in his own head.
Are they singing O Canada?
Ow.
This is fantastic. I'm taking a mental picture of this moment for the rest of my life. Continue, gentlemen.
I thought Rubio stumbled. Kasich, I think if there was a fail tonight, it was Kasich. Kasich? I
always Kasich.
Okay, let's go with Kasich.
Probably because that's the way you pronounce it, but go ahead.
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
But I think if any of those, the only guy who could beat Hillary is Kasich.
I think he'd be a good candidate, but he came off terrible tonight. I thought he overly scripted. According to the media polling and the focus groups they had, Rubio did himself a lot of favors. I think what happens Monday, seriously? Well, we'll compare, contrast. I think Cruz. I think
we'll all reconvene.
I think Cruz wins. I think he's the kind of candidate that wins Iowa. Look who what they've got. They gave us Santorum 4 years ago and four years before that.
No, everybody says that, but that's total BS because the winner of Iowa 4 years ago was Romney. It was Romney for 2 weeks. It was Romney, and then he used that momentum to go into New Hampshire, and he used that momentum to go into South Carolina, and then the Republicans go, oh, yeah, well, you know, actually, Santorum won. But they didn't because never – no, they said Romney won Iowa 4 years ago. Wasn't until 2 weeks later that Santorum won. And you know who got the most delegates out of Iowa? Ron Paul. So you had three different winners. But
everyone's a winner.
Romney.
Well, that's Iowa.
Yeah. The big winners are from Des Moines because everybody leaves. You know, so,
so I think, anyway, okay. I got to check that out. You kind of tripped me up here. But I'm still saying Cruz did give us Pat Robertson also. So I think Cruz is the kind of candidate, and he also has boots on the ground. And so Trump does not.
Didn't he give us Falwell 1 year?
No, I didn't. Jerry never ran.
Oh, okay.
Jerry Falwell.
Pat Robertson?
Like, I know him. Jerry, you know, Jerry. Jerry Falwell Jr. endorsed Trump, which I think is kind of important last week or this week.
Why is that? In Iowa, is that important?
Evangelicals became a massive part of that whole process. So I think and now you go into New Hampshire. Does Trump hold on to that lead? I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot less evangelical up in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But more so in South Carolina, so that'll be interesting. I mean, remember when was it McCain won? And McCain won. I think he won Iowa and New Hampshire.
Yep.
And then Bush did all that push pulling of him. You know, what if he had a black child? What would you think then?
What if he made your white daughter have a black child? Yeah. Would you vote for him then?
Wait, is he in my backyard right now? What's happening?
Hey, McCain, get away! And they just beat him to, and that was the Bush machine. I don't know if there is a Bush machine anymore.
Obviously
it doesn't
not.
Seem to be. I mean, he doesn't even have that much support in his own state, does he?
Jeb?
No.
Well, that's going to be an interesting contest between him and Rubio. Yeah. So, but I think Rubio wins that. He's a newer model.
Rubio
looks like the high school kid who went to college, you know?
Well, he needs to hydrate because he's still. He does. He just
does he get dry mouth? Does he start licking his lips?
He did a response to the State of the Union, and this is mind-boggling. Okay, they know.
Oh, that was a fantastic moment. It's my favorite moment.
He has to reach out of the frame. I mean, he literally leans out of camera view to grab the bottle. It's like he's going like this. Can a staffer notice that he's moving his arm? Going, you know, water.
And the thing is, unless you're a comic, you don't know how to time that right. Like, we know how to time something. That's a dramatic pause. We let the audience know it's time to laugh.
Well, who didn't think to put the water by him?
Right.
And he didn't.
I know. That's hilarious to me. That's fun. And what's weird is his staff says he has a hydration issue. Apparently, that's
I don't know if you want to release that. He has a hydration issue. Just doesn't sound like something you want to tell people. You know, he has the issues with the absorption of water.
Yes.
It doesn't. I mean, then you're like, well, what kind of alien is he that he can't handle water very well or metabolize
He'll never
it
be
correctly.
Able to travel to the southwest.
It's Florida. It's a totally different thing.
Well,
it's
so bizarre.
Anna can report back.
Yeah, she can tell us how that's going down in Florida. Before we go to the break, I do want to remind you, we have to find a very cold day now that it's so far removed from our bet about the first primary GOP debate.
Yes.
When I said that not only would Trump survive, but his numbers would go up. So
that
was Scott.
You
said
that?
That was,
she did.
From the very
did.
Beginning.
To her credit.
From the very beginning, I've said it was going to be
like
this.
It doesn't matter what he says. He calls Mexicans rapists. He gets a bump. He denigrates women. That whole Megan, he gets a bump. A prisoner of war, he gets a bump.
How about when he made fun of someone with a disability and was mocking them and doing the...
He mocked a guy with a disability. I mean, who does that?
And who supports that? I mean, I'm sorry, but if you are still a fan of Donald Trump, we are done. I can't.
I can't get it either. Listen, I'm a Republican, or ish. But I just, I've been writing, I do a comic strip called Prickly City, and I've been writing about that for weeks now, because one of the characters is a conservative, and she's just so conflicted. If he's the nominee, what do you do? If you're a guy like me who actually
That's an interesting question. We haven't asked that yet. We take Trumpinions on our show. And
Trumpinions.
And that was Craig's, by the way. That's Craig's creation. And that's why we play the Trumpeteers, those little girls singing at the beginning of this segment. We've talked to people who have changed their mind since and why. We talked to people who are still fans of Donald Trump. I haven't thought about asking our conservatives what you're going to do should Donald Trump be the guy on the ticket.
He's not a conservative. He's never has been. He's kind of carping this stuff. He's crude. He's rude. He's not an adult. He's a child.
Will Republicans vote for Donald Trump if? And I told you last week, go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's a group of Republicans who will vote. I mean, you know, like there's yellow dog Democrats. They'll vote for a yellow dog as long as there's a D in front. And it's the same true of Republicans. There are the Tea Party Republicans who like him because he's against the system. And then there's the moderates in the middle. And you got a moderate right here.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think
so. What do you do?
And I
guess
the Tea Party
you.
Guys don't are going to grow not to like him. Because
they seem to be obstinate.
Well, he's spewing all this stuff that's, you know, churning the waters, and that excites them. But then hopefully at some point they're going to stop and listen to what this moron is spewing. I mean, he's like did you read the editorial?
He's an oaf.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what he is.
He's an oaf. And it drives me crazy because, like I said, tonight was a good night for the Republican Party to see the candidates who actually are thoughtful, have ideas, know how to articulate them. No one called anyone a loser. No one called anybody stupid. It was just a good exchange. And I don't know. If it's Trump, what do I do?
Trump and Hillary, you're trapped. I can't see a Scott. I see a Scott Santas at the, you know, standing in front of his choices going, I just see like dissolving into the floor of the gymnasium going, I'm out. I can't do this.
I could vote as libertarian. I mean,
whoever
Bloomberg?
No, gosh, no. He doesn't want me to have a big gulp.
Oh.
Really? No, I'm not going for that.
Oh, man.
In fact, that's the cartoon for tomorrow. It's a quote. I did a campaign button for Bloomberg, and it said, I really want Bloomberg to be my next president, end quote. Said nobody ever.
We have some listeners who are calling in. We invite you to join the conversation. 312-981-7200. I want to hear what you all have to say because I'm having a good time listening to these two guys. We're hanging out with Will Durst and Scott Santas. You can see Scott's work in the Chicago Tribune 5 days a week. Plus, you can go to chicagotribune.com and read the Prickly City. Will is at Zanies. Go to zanies.com. He's performing at the Comedy Club on Wells through Sunday night. And I highly recommend the show. Oh, my God. I have to get to Zanies. More after this on 720 WGN. I like the mood tonight, Craig. I think it's a little warm-up for what we meant to get to in a little bit. Although we've been doing more chair dancing for what we meant to get to. It's getting late in the year.
I like that.
Late
chair
in the year.
Is just
it's almost February and we're just tired.
Yeah.
Just tired.
Feels late in the year.
It does feel late in the year.
Oh, by the way, we got a phone call from Jeff. He said that Trump is like Kim Jong-un.
Oh.
It was his whole comment, and then he was done.
And then
funky hair and makes no sense when you listen to him.
Exactly. And a little creepy, a little scary.
A little creepy, a little scary.
A little doomsy.
Yeah, yes. So what would I do? I don't know. Although I draw the heck out of that campaign. That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't, not to like anybody. It's
Trump.
Great.
Trump must be fun to
draw. The hair, just your hand just goes free.
just goes.
Because I remember
goes.
Early with Obama, all anybody had were his ears.
That's all he has.
That's all I got. Yeah.
Man. That's it.
a little salt and pepper now rather than dark hair.
No, I think everybody gets, you know, even after 8 years, every comic could do a George W. Bush. After 8 years, every comic could do a Clinton. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and now people are able to do Obama on stage.
You know? Yeah. Do
it's just a statter thing. I think that it's become apparent that our allies are involved, and you know.
But the sit-down interviews, he does the like it's like they finally got him to shorten them because it was. Well, what I'm thinking is.
Well, he's a lefty. We can, he's in more ways than one, but he's left-handed, and
so is Clinton.
We do have we have language processing issues because your language center is on the left side of the brain, and where you hear it's a long story. But I like to express.
We have time.
That's why I talk so quickly. We have time.
What are you doing, man? Scott?
I'm just sitting here listening to.
You got a date,
Patty?
Yeah. Hi there, everybody. Mike wants to join our conversation. Mike, if it came down to Trump and Hillary, do you have a solution for how you would vote?
A solution for how I would vote? I guess it'd be a write-in for just about anybody else. For Patty.
Well, thank you very much.
She's not old enough.
She's not old enough.
Oh, well done, gentlemen. Well done. So you are. Who do you prefer right now? Because I don't got a guy or a woman. You got a guy?
Well, that's probably the hard part. It's like the person who I, would most likely vote for from the Republican side, that really has no shot at winning. It would be Kasich. But, Trump is taking all the air.
I don't know either.
He was, Michael, he was doing better in New Hampshire. Now, they always say that there's three tickets out of Iowa. And so there's the crazy ticket, and then there's the evangelical ticket, and then there's the establishment ticket. And the crazy ticket will be Trump, and Cruz will be evangelical, and there should be one more. And it might be Rubio, could be Kasich, could be Bush, whoever surprises. And then in New Hampshire, I don't think Cruz is going to do that well in New Hampshire. So Kasich was at – Christie was showing some support in New Hampshire until he yelled at that little girl who asked him – you see this?
I didn't see this.
I didn't see it either.
Little girl asked him, "Well, how come you're in here and you're not home in on New Jersey? Because there's flooding and stuff." And he said, "Ah, that's all done with. Who said that? What do you want me to do? Go down there with a mop?" He actually said that, and he looked like such a thug.
Yeah,
and he thought it was such a great line. He was smiling. He was so proud of himself.
Well, thank you, Mike, for letting us know that you would write in a candidate if it comes down to Hillary and Donald.
Bosco, is there some question about your citizenship? I'm sure.
I'm sure there is. No, none whatsoever. Born in Chicago. Just my mom's citizenship is okay.
Was she a citizen when you were born?
Yes, she was.
When you actually came out of the chute, was she?
Doesn't matter. She's
Why are we calling my mom's cervix a chute? That seems unnecessary.
That's in the Constitution.
Wow.
We can talk about this.
Wow. Shoot. She's a baby tunnel for God.
Show some respect, man.
Sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry, Mom.
My brother makes it sound more like a popcorn maker because it just pops babies.
Pops baby.
Yeah.
Does it make a noise?
I would assume so. And there's a baby. And another one. Oh, look. Twins.
Sounds like Reagan. Didn't he do that? Welfare queens popping babies.
Yeah.
Those skills are uncanny. You guys, wow.
I know. Who do you think was making the popping noises? 312-981-7200. I don't know. I think that's a very good contest because it was actually both of them.
Yeah, it was.
It was well done, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
We can get along.
Now, I know you didn't get a chance to hear Bruce Rauner's State of the State address, so I'm glad that you're here because I can read it to you.
Drop the G's.
Was it shorter or longer than you expected?
It was good. It was 33 minutes. I mean, like it was shorter than a wedding, longer than a bris, I guess. I don't know.
A funeral.
You have the copy right there. You actually have the speech in your hands. Are the G's there?
Okay, so I want you to look. I actually started circling when he started dropping G's throughout the speech.
Oh,
you
really?
Can see that I marked the ones and I stopped because he just dropped the most. I would say he maybe pronounced one of them. What was interesting about that was interesting about that situation is that he does spell the G's in his speech, yet when he comes to the word because, he actually does do apostrophe cause. So I thought that was interesting that he doesn't spell out the word because.
In the speech, it says cause?
Cause, yes.
Apostrophe C-U-Z?
Yeah, not C-U-Z, but apostrophe C-A-U-S-E.
Does it really?
I have it in here. I'll find the page.
No, I hate that about. I hate it. I hate when someone tries to be folksy. He's a billionaire.
From the North Shore.
God bless him.
North Shore, 312 North Shore, 312-981-7200. Do you pronounce your G's? I'm just curious. Are you dropping G's like a mother? Oh, popping. Are you popping your G's?
I'm popping, mother.
I got to find the page. But
no, yeah, the governor drops his G's, and he's a North Shore billionaire, which is awesome.
How do you make this money?
Venture capital stuff that I have no idea.
Like valet services or something like that, too. And then a bunch of investment things. Yeah, that's all.
Sure, let's go with that.
I got to find. Oh, here it is. All I'm asking for is.
Is that how it's written?
He doesn't say. Okay. I'm doing it.
It was delivered.
I'll highlight it for you. Well, yeah.
Wait, just a preface. There are two ways that you can read the Gettysburg Address. He didn't write it down. They don't have the speech. They actually had people taking dictation, and there are four different versions of it. So this is very similar.
This was word for word because I was following along.
Okay, so this is you actually listening.
Yes, this is me actually listening. All I'm asking for is a return to balance in this state, because right now we don't have competitive balance and jobs are leaving. So that was
leaving.
He said leaving. He didn't write it out that way, but that's how he said it. There was the press box, by the way, for listeners who are annoyed that all the hosts on WGN make fun of the fact that he does drop his G's. You could hear everyone just kind of giggle. They were banging the countertop, just annoyed that he drops his G's. Yeah, everybody.
And we can't figure out why he does that. I was reading a story about that this afternoon, and it feels like a hackneyed attempt at being folksy.
Folksy. Well, let's get to the news and talk a little bit more with this has been so much fun so far that I'm getting late for the news. We're hanging out with comedian Will Durst and cartoonist Scott Stantis. You can see everything that Scott does at chicagotribune.com and in the daily newspaper from Prickly City and his daily cartoon. Will Durst is performing at Zany's on Well, so you can see him right here in Chicago, but you can also follow him on Facebook and on Twitter, and all of his musings are available.
Indeed. WillDurst.com, or I'm actually syndicated by Kegel Cartoons.
Oh,
perhaps
okay.
You know them.
I do.
Are you kidding?
You have come to AAC conventions.
I have, yeah.
And more with our gentleman when we come back. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm hanging out with two of my favorite political commentators, Will Durst and Scott Stantis. This has been lively and fun. I get to sit back and listen to you guys just talk the whole time. This is very enjoyable. I actually do stand-up comedy because I loved stand-up comedy before I saw you in one of your specials. I know you taped one special right here at the Vic Theater.
At the Vic, yeah.
But the one that I saw was somewhere else the first time I saw you talk about Iran and Iraq, and sort of making that understandable to me. I was like, I was maybe 20, and I was like, how did he just do that? It made total sense. And I loved comedy before that, but you made me completely addicted to it.
So. Well, the great thing is, if you do it in front of, I think if Bertolt Brecht were alive today, he'd be a stand-up comedian, because it is the people's theater. I mean, they're so receptive, they're open, you know, they're smoking and drinking and having a good time. Well, not smoking anymore.
Yeah,
but they're, and you can't change the way people think, but you can plant seeds. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, absolutely. That's part of my job. Everyone says, what cartoon has changed the most? I go, none of them. It's always a one. I've got to hit Madigan 700 times, Speaker of the House here, before I think it has an impact.
Well, I think that as far as people being aware of how much power he has or what he has done as far as his legacy in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, that he's evil.
I think that seems to be the general tone. I mean, I had breakfast with two representatives yesterday, and they were talking to me about the way, you know, we have this impression that Michael Madigan comes in and or sends people and tells you how you have to vote. And I sat down with two gentlemen who said that, you know, there are ways in which he will express his desire to have a vote, but that they have both in different instances voted against something that Madigan wanted. And they fully expected to be punished for it afterwards because of all these, you know, the sort of tone and what it seems like everyone says. One of them was going to give a speech on the floor and, you know, in contrast to what the speaker wanted. And Michael Madigan sent somebody And he goes, no, I'm going to talk. And he goes, and he did, and he voted against it. And there was, you know, a little bit of a cooling period, you know, where he was not in good favor with the speaker. But when he ran again, he did not face, you know, that sort of, we get this idea that Michael Madigan makes sure that you don't win again, or anything that you want doesn't see the light of day. Now, that's two representatives. Obviously, there are 71. I haven't spoken to all of them. But that was a little bit of a glimpse into, you know, I was asking this last night. And one of the things that people admire about Donald Trump is his ability to have amassed this wealth, right? That somehow makes him, you know, and also his ability to manipulate media. And that's admirable to some people. So why is the accumulation of power at the state level something that is reviled so much? The ability to have done this, to have amassed this kind of ability to, you know, to get things done the way you see them, to network and to, you know, in whatever political manner that is, to be that machine. Why is that reviled when Donald Trump, by many people, is admired? I'm just curious. It just occurred to me.
Donald Trump's capital came from, conceivably or presumably, was given to him freely.
Right.
Controlling political power means that you dismiss half of the political equation for your own ends, your own means.
So the ends, what we're talking about is that Michael Madigan has benefited from his law firm and different things that way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, Donald Trump has benefited on the backs of men and women across the country and across the world, and the way things are built. And I mean,
right, but that's an organic construct. I don't think it's a political one.
Right.
And so I think there is a difference. I think that when you have a state that has been run by one guy effectively for almost 40 years now, and in the, particularly when it's, here's the thing. If the state was running like clockwork, if this was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to move to Illinois, then we'd probably be having a very different discussion. We're not. I mean, it's not. And we are having a different discussion. And the state is in a terrible mess because of his leadership and where he's led.
What about when Trump uses the technicalities of the law to benefit himself, where he'll say, I know it's wrong, but, you know, I give money to candidates and they help me get stuff done. And,
oh, yeah.
And I know that's – but I'm a businessman. That's what I got to do.
And that's using the political system to
Sure
benefit.
It is. Well, the political system is corrupt, isn't it? I don't think any of us is going to disagree with that. And that the crony capitalism, which Trump has been affected from, as many of the billionaires in the country have, that's just as wrong.
It's just because I've been thinking about this, and I'm not a big fan of the speakers either, because I talk to enough people who say he's evil and he's run for 42 years. He's, you know, redistricted it to his own benefit so that he can control
42
what is
years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't been in control for 42 years.
Is he the speaker?
He's been a speaker for 30.
Been a speaker for 30 years?
36 years now, or now 34 to, of the last 36.
It's Googling with Patty Vasquez, and we shall find out shortly.
Nothing's more interesting than listening to someone Google.
And type on
the radio.
In San Francisco, I too did radio. I had a morning radio show for a year.
Oh, you knew Willie Brown.
With Willie Brown.
Oh, you did it with him?
It was the Will and Willie show.
No way.
We did it for a year. And he had the best Rolodex ever.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. If he he got Michael Jackson on the phone one time because he knew Clive Davis's phone number. The way he would explain it is that it wasn't about exercising the power. It was about kind of throwing power that people understood that you had it. You didn't have to use it just because they knew that you had it. And to him, the whole thing, and this is what he repeated as a mantra over and over, and the man that I'm talking about to the local you guys, I don't know who Madigan is, but Willie Brown was Speaker of the House in California for about 16 years. Would have been longer, but they actually passed term limits in California because of Willie Brown, because the Republicans had a majority in the assembly, and Willie got two of the Republicans to switch and vote for him for Speaker of the House.
I remember that.
That's when people went crazy and said, well, no, we gotta stop. And they had term limits, so now you can only serve 12 years in the Assembly and Senate combined.
Well, and I think that's one of the things. I think that could that should be a point of compromise when it comes to the turnaround agenda when they're talking about term limits. It should be leaders. That there should be term limits on how long someone can be a leader, because Michael Madigan has been the Speaker of the House since 1983.
Good Lord. Except for 1 year, right?
Years.
Didn't the Republicans take over for a year and a half?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, there's one little itty-bitty gap.
For all but 2 years.
Two years.
Okay. For all but 2 years.
How about that?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, it's bad. And, you know, so...
And here's the thing. So,
where's he from?
He is from Beverly. He's a South Side of Chicago. Yeah. So is it, you know, so then that's a district that also then becomes the most powerful district in the state of Illinois.
Oh, yeah, they just built another school down there.
They keep reelecting him.
Did you hear about the story about when he actually has a decent opposition, although the story now is starting to smell a little bit. But there was a legitimate opponent who waited for the last 5 minutes to file. And as soon as he did, one of Madigan's little henchmen was standing there with petitions for two other candidates and ran up and said, poof, poof. And so okay. Now it's a four-way race, and that's what Michael does.
Is make sure other people are in the race.
On the one hand, I used to work in politics. I worked for a guy, assemblyman, down in California, actually. Got him elected. And so I love politics. And this kind of thing, on the one hand, I'm going, ew. But on the other hand, there's a part of me that's going, that
it's
is
admirable.
Awesome.
That
is. It's like, well, you're so ready. You're so prepared. Yeah, yeah. You're so disciplined that you're sitting there waiting.
Well, and that's why I make the comparison to Donald Trump, because people often say when it comes to CEOs and these guys that make people, and I say guys because predominantly it is men who are CEOs, when they amass this kind of wealth, people go, well, if you can, why wouldn't you? If that's what you can do, that's why I ask, if he can do it and has done it, how is that? Again, shouldn't he? I'm not saying I agree or that I like it, but it is the same premise of, well, since he can, why shouldn't he? If you can do that with wealth, why wouldn't you do that with political power?
Well, and what
it's possible, and it has become possible, and we have let it become possible. We have continued to be passive bystanders in the state of Illinois, as we have in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah, it's to be a part of a democracy, you have to participate, and people don't want to.
No.
16% of the state turned out for our primaries, and that's how we ended up with Governor Rauner. 16% of the state. And because people don't consider it important enough to decide who's going to be on
the
ballot.
For the primary or general?
For the primary. Okay. We talked about it that whole night. There was a woman, Will, I was at my polling place for the primary, and I waited patiently for the electronic balloting. And there was a woman, an older woman in front of me, and she finished the whole thing. And I figured I'd wait. I didn't mind. I was hanging out. There's some gym mats in the gym at Farnsworth. And she left, and I went up to hand over my ticket. I voted a little bit quicker because it really, in the primary, only a few things. And they were standing there, and they're like, oh, she didn't, there was something wrong with her ballot. Should we go tell her? And they were like, and no one was going to go let her know that they were going to invalidate. This woman was in her 80s. She was retired. And here's how I know this. She was retired. She actually had to make the choice between coming to vote and going grocery shopping because it was getting dark out and she can't drive at night. And the reason I know that is because they were about to throw out her ballot. And I you don't get to do that. And I went out and I chased her. And I turned to them and I go, I'm pretty sure she hasn't gotten that far. So I went out
and I
caught up to her. She was a retired paralegal. She knew many people at City Hall. And she when I told her that they were about to throw away her ballot, she took a deep breath and she turned around and she walked back into the gymnasium up the stairs and continued to refile her ballot because not enough people are showing up. I'm certainly not going to let you throw away one person's ballot, especially someone like that who knows, has seen enough, has been through so much. Her vote counts, and it includes the primaries, because that's how we end up with the candidates that you eventually vote for. I think it was in the 30% for the governor's race, and they were telling me yesterday that this year's primaries and the election for our House and Senate are going to probably be, is it House and Senate, or is it just the House?
Yeah, it's House every 2 years. So it's Kirk against Duckworth.
Yeah, they said it's probably it'll be stronger this year because of the presidential race. But then it's going to be weak for the governor's race again.
And Illinois might actually matter in that. I mean, the Republicans.
When's your
still
primary?
Oh, boy. Help me.
What the primary?
You have the Googles right there. What's the Illinois?
Well, I know that they are not. They're not in session much this spring. They have a much shorter dates.
No, what's the primary though?
Yeah, I don't
know.
The presidential primary. Yeah. I have no idea for Illinois. I'm worried about the state. I'm worried about the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out.
It's the same thing with Walker. I mean, that's how he got by in Wisconsin because it was an off election.
Right.
And then the Koch brothers gave him enough money.
What? I've heard it both ways.
Okay.
I'm
sure you have.
The original pronunciation. That's from the early 20th century. That's how they pronounced it.
It says on Google. I looked it up just now.
Yeah, either one is acceptable.
When is our primary? You have the Google right there.
I know. Let me take a break and Google that right now. No, you were going to say that the Koch brothers...
No, because when they started the petition to recall him, those guys gave him enough money. They were running ads while the petitions were still out. They outspent the recall effort 9-1. 9-1. Yeah. So that's the only reason why
Craig,
Walker survived.
You look stunned by all the information.
Yeah, I'm confused. What guys again? Who were the guys that did
the Koch brothers?
Did I stun you into silence? I heard it both ways. More after this on 720.